This is Pastor Ethan Moore of Trinity Church in the Vail Valley of Colorado. Thank you for listening to this message. If you'd like more information about our past and upcoming messages, or to learn more about who we are as a church, I invite you to visit our website at www.trinityvail.com. Likewise, if God might put it on your heart to support our ministry here in the Vail Valley, you can visit the support page on our website. Again, thanks so much for listening to this message, and I do pray that it bears fruit in your life. Today's message is entitled, Relax, Jesus' invitation to let go of stress and worry in the middle of a stressed out world. And I gave this message on Sunday, December the 31st, New Year's Eve, 2017, here at our chapel in Edwards, Colorado. I thought it'd be a good question to, you know, end the year, look into the new year, get the whole thing of resolutions. If we were to say, you know, what are maybe some New Year's resolutions Scripture wants us to make, that would be really hard or really, really difficult. What are the hardest commands? I asked this question in the little email newsletter I sent out Friday. If you were to think of Jesus' teaching, guys, and the teaching in the New Testament, what are some of the hardest, most difficult commands that Jesus gave us? Ones that you might even say are impossible. Here's a few thoughts to try on. How about forgive? How? As I forgive. But always, fully, Jesus said, forgive as I forgive. Forgive as God forgives. Wow. Another one along that same line. Rejoice always. All the time. Somebody here, maybe a lot of us, let me put it this way. If you are a human being and breathing, over the last month, there was a time when if you were to have just opened up the book and read, rejoice always, it would have been a really, really hard command for you to carry through on at that point. In that same breath, you know, Jesus said, and by the way, Paul is writing here, so God's Spirit of Jesus working through Paul. Paul says, and by the way, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. Right? Hard thing. What does that even mean? You know, Jesus had some great room clearers, I think. You know, maybe when the crowd had been hanging out a little too long and he was tired, he might have thrown out some of these things. Like, whoever wants to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You start talking about self-denial. That's a, you know, quick way to bring a conversation to an end. But my favorite thing that Jesus said, which is almost, and I'm not being disrespectful here, just honest, almost sounds ludicrous on its face, because it's impossible to do. And, you know, what it was like when Jesus first threw this out when he was talking to a group of people, when he said, so be perfect. Right? Okay. How perfect, Jesus? Well, as perfect as God. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. All right. Impossible commands. Now, all of these have context that you need to go and look at so that we don't think they're impossible commands and really understand what Jesus is saying. But at least on their surface, you're saying, how could we even do these things? But guys, I think those commands, those teachings in Scripture pale in comparison to the most impossible command that we hear, right, through the pages of Scripture, coming out of the mouth of Jesus, when he said, do not worry. Do not worry. Fear not. Right? Be at peace. Don't be afraid. Do not worry. Now, it's been said, not firstly by me, that if you're not worried, you're just not paying attention. Either you have a totally charmed life, or you're just not paying attention, because, you know, worrying about things is one of the fundamental parts of the human condition. Right? I don't care who you are and how charmed your life is. We all know what it is to worry in some way. Some people are absolutely dominated and held bondage by worry. But friends, just cutting to the very end of my sermon, the promise and the consistent, it's a sub-theme of all of Scripture, but explicitly in several places, and especially in Matthew chapter 6 that we're going to look at, we see Scripture inviting us into a life that is real, that doesn't pretend, right, doesn't whitewash things, but is increasingly free from the bondage of anxiety and worry. Right? It's not some spiritually unfunded mandate, pie in the sky thing. This is fundamental and foundational to what it means to live by the Spirit, to live a life of a believer, that Christ came and died and rose again and brought us into Him, into His life, so that we could know and so that we could experience. We don't have to be held bondage by worry. But what does that look like? Right? Easy to say, but what does it look like? And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to walk through a sizable passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. I think that's verse 34. And we're going to see really out of this scripture, six questions. Jesus doesn't ask these as questions. He's giving teaching, probably some of the most practical, daily life, practical teaching that we see Jesus give, that we hear Him give. But if you look at this, as we go through it, you can really, if you discern a bit and look into it, we can hear God asking us six questions that we need to ask ourselves when we find ourselves in places of worry and anxiety. Okay, and so that's where we're going. And the first one is, by the way, inside your program, there's my notes section. You'll notice there's no fill in the blanks. This would have been a perfect message to have six statements with fill in the blanks. But guess what? I didn't get there by the time I had to hit print. So you really need to follow along with me. You need to jot these down. Even if you're not a real notes taking person, I encourage you to jot these down. And I'll maybe try to put my notes online or something if this is something you want to go back and think about. Because friends, this is not because of any wisdom I have. Just looking at this scripture on its face. This is so powerful and so relevant and so important to us in the life that we live. I mean, just real quick before we go there, just to acknowledge that. How important is it, how relevant is it to talk about this issue of worry? I mean, what do we even mean when we say worry? You know, there's lots of different ways we think about that word. You know, one way we think about worry is, almost in a positive sense, is just paying attention to things, right? Just being responsible, just having care and concern for important things in life. And a way that's negatively said sometimes, this use of the word, is somebody may say, well, I've got to go take care of this. And another person may say, well, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Meaning just don't pay any heed to it. Don't give any attention to that. A lot of times that can be bad advice. You know, I need to pay the rent or the electric bill. Nah, don't worry about that. It's fine. Whatever. Don't worry about it. No. That's not what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Scripture calls us to be responsible, right? To pay heed to things ahead of us, to be wise. There's an old saying that says, wise planning is time well spent, but worrying is time wasted, right? When Scripture says, don't worry, He's not talking about having a healthy concern and awareness that leads to good judgment and good decisions and wisdom. The way we really most often, though, think about worry is when we have deep concern leading into fear about what's going to happen in regards to things that we don't have control over. And by the way, of the spectrum of everything in life, what percentage of it do we have no control over? That would be 100%. Okay? Not trying to be negative. We do have influence. And God calls us to be wielders of influence. But we don't have control. We fantasize that we have control, but we don't. So the things that we worry about can be, you know, a huge range of things, all the way from people who are just compulsive worriers about small things that, you know, just really have no place to be worrying about, all the way to things that really are quite significant, right? Big things in our lives. And like, if this outcome happens, what will I do? And we borrow trouble from the future in small things, but some ways, and again, in things that are really important to us, especially when it's in areas of things that we love, people that we love, that we care about, right? Important outcomes that we're concerned about. You know, the classic scenario that maybe you've experienced something like this in, you know, the world before cell phones, when your child or maybe your spouse was expected home at 8 o'clock in the evening, and it's 10:30 at night, and there's a storm outside, and they're still not home, and you're just helpless, and there's this gnawing feeling in your stomach, like, I don't have the power to do anything about the situation that I'm in. And we worry. And friends, from there, it's just a small step until really the third level of worry, and that's just full-blown anxiety and fear of things totally beyond our control, and it shuts us down. And friends, when we find ourselves in those places of worry and anxiety, What does Scripture have to say to us? What does God have to say to us? So that's where we're going to look. Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 19. Again, I said a series of questions that we see Scripture asking us here, really Jesus asking us as we look through this. And the first question that we see, that we need to ask ourselves when we are in times of worry and anxiety, is where is my treasure? Okay? Where is my treasure? What is my treasure? What is my first place passion in my life? Here's what Jesus says, starting in verse 19. So, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin don't destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, right? The classic statement, you've heard Jesus say that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, here's the thought. Friends, when we find ourselves in worry and anxiety, we need to ask ourselves, what is really important here? What does my worry say to me about what is important, what is most important to me? Is what I'm worrying about the most important thing? And maybe it really is important, but just thinking about myself, when I find myself here, I need to be deeply honest. What am I afraid of here? What am I afraid of? What does it tell me, again, about my value system? And maybe not in a negative sense, but just what am I really looking to for courage and for hope? What is my ultimate hope in life? What is this worry teaching me? Right? What's my treasure? What's most important to me? There's a lot that we could talk about there, but I'm just going to leave that as the first thought. When we're in times of worrying anxiety, what does this tell me about really what's most important? Right, that can be an important question to ask. But going on, the second question that we see really out of this teaching of Jesus, and this one's not going to make sense at first, but this is it. When I find myself in times of worry, am I being a giver or a taker? Am I a giver or a taker? And by the way, this passage we're about to read is a good example of why it's really rich and healthy and to some of us fun when we're studying Scripture to really get under the hood, read some commentaries, you know, get a study Bible and see if there's a comment from a scholar about this passage. Is there anything about the Greek word that is maybe a little fuller fleshed out than just the word that we see in our English translation? To do that level of study, this is an example of where the full meaning of the passage really comes out when we do this. This is what Jesus says. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, then how great is that darkness? And we may look at the passage right before that where Jesus is talking about where our treasure is and all this. And it's almost like he just kind of forgot what he was talking about and went in a whole different direction. Jesus, what is that even about? The eye's the lamp of the body, and if our eyes are healthy, we're full of light. If our eyes are unhealthy, we're full of darkness. What does this even mean? See, here's an important thing about this text that we need to understand. There's two key words here, healthy and unhealthy. First of all, the image that Jesus is giving, that the eye is the lamp of the body, it's really a picture of the eye being our perspective, our outlook, the way that we look at things, right? Kind of the eye of that illuminates or doesn't our heart, right? Our soul. With goodness, good attitude, bad attitude, good perspective, bad perspective, right? The eye is the lamp of the body. The perspective that we have in life is very, very important. And then he says, so if that perspective is healthy or good, and when you look at the Greek word there, and some of your Bibles might have a the new NIV has a footnote to this, that word for healthy has a strong connotation of generous. All right. If your perspective, your outlook in life is one of generosity, of generous, you're going to be full of light. But if your perspective, if your outlook is unhealthy, and that word has a strong connotation of being stingy and grasping and holding everything into yourself, unhealthy. If your perspective is unhealthy and stingy and grasping, listen, your life is going to be full of darkness. I mean, friends, how many of us know someone who by any standard in today's world, even maybe by any standard in America, have so much to be thankful for, right, and great resources and good health and all these other things. And yet we find they find themselves being stingy about life, right? It's all about them and grasping and holding on. There's a word to describe a person like that, and it's miserable, right? Probably friendless, darkness. And Jesus said, listen, if that light within you is dark, or if your perspective, whatever is illuminating your life, is that dark perspective, how great is that darkness? But here's the thought. Let me put it this way. Much of what we worry about, guys, flows from what we are trying to hold on to, what we're trying to draw our life from. And when we're stingy and we keep everything to ourselves, we're always going to be fixated on what we might lose, right? And we're always going to be worrying. But when we're generous, when we're givers, our body is full of light, right? Using that metaphor, because life isn't about us. I'm not bound up and concerned so much for what I have, because my hope, my contentment, my joy comes from being a part of how God is using me to make another person's life better. It's kind of like what John said, like to love people or to show people the goodness of God in my life. That's where my joy and contentment comes from, right? That generous perspective, right? Leaving that there, that's number two. In life, am I a net giver or a net taker? Because that's going to speak a lot into whether or not we are caught up in worry. Here's the third question. When we're dealing with times of worry and anxiety, we need to ask the question, what is mastering me? What is mastering me? Right? What is my master? Who do I serve? Verse 24, Jesus goes on. He says, so no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. And if you have a King James, there's that old, great old word. You can't serve both God and mammon. And what mammon basically means are possessions. Things that we have of a temporary nature that we assign value to, and we say, that is where my hope in life comes from. This is the most precious thing to me. All right, so what do we really serve in life? You know, if we ask the question, what do I have to have? You know, Ethan, self, what do I have to be content, to be happy, to have joy, to be at peace? What do I tell myself, this is what I've got to have? The answer to that question, my friends, that's what I'm bound to. That's what I'm serving. That's what I'm going to seek to protect the most. And if it is in temporary things, right, my possessions, which may be good and fine in and of themselves, and God might not have any problem with me having these things and enjoying these things, but if they're my source of life, that's what I've got to protect. That's what I'm afraid of losing. And I'm going to be worrying because the experience of life is having to let go of and experiencing loss in regards to the temporary things that we have. You know, history and just a simple study of the human condition bears that out. And yet, as followers of Christ, as we have received the truth that our hope, our identity, everything that we talk about here, who we are, our goodness, comes from our relationship with God and being a part of how He works through us, how He works in us, what He wants to do through us, how He wants to use us to engage the world around us, right? This is life. And yet, even as believers, we miss out on that because we are bound to temporary things, right? What is mastering me? Right? Another question that we need to ask when we're dealing with worry and anxiety is, what is my value? Right? Not what is valuable to me. That's kind of the previous question. But what is my value? What is the source of my self-worth? Do I see myself as having little value or having great value? Listen to what Jesus says, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I mean, there's the statement. Are you not much more valuable than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? All right. Again, think of the metaphor that Jesus just used. Look at creation. Look at the majesty of what God has done, of His creation. Jesus says, don't you know that you are so much more valuable than any of that? Friends, when we worry, one of the things we're doing, this is a little more subtle, but we are questioning our value to God. And we're questioning our value as a person. Like, what will this outcome do to me? We fear loss and pain because it strikes at that which we use to define ourselves, our identity. And Jesus here cuts to the heart of the matter for us. Because he says, in a world of temporary things, what is the basis of our self-worth? Right? Is it by what we have? By external things? He says, listen, that's the way of the pagans. Meaning, that's just the world. That's godlessness. Rather, look to me. What I say is true about you. What I want to do in your life. Right? What is our value? Christ came to this earth and died and rose again to bring us back to Him. My friends, that's the source of our value. It's another little interesting thing about this particular statement that Jesus makes. He ends that little paragraph by saying, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And of course the answer is no. And that's good advice, right? What, do you think worrying is, do you think worrying is going to add anything to your life? This is another statement that can be translated a little differently in the Greek. Some Bibles are going to have a footnote that says, is there any one of you that by worrying can add a single cubit, an inch, to your height? In other words, by worrying, can you increase your stature? Do you think by worrying you can increase your worth or your value? No, you can't. Look at the value that God places on us. Do you not know that your value, God says, is from me? Because that leads into really what is the crucial question that we got to ask when we're struggling with worry and anxiety. And it's the question, do I believe that God is good? Do I believe that God is good? Verse 28. Jesus says, really in the same line of thought, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Some translations say added to you as well. All right, again, lots there, but just to boil it down to a single thought. Friends, when we are in places of worry and anxiety, do we believe that God knows our situation? Do we believe that God knows? Do I believe that God knows my situation? And if I do, the second question is, do I believe that He cares for me? That He loves me? That He has a plan that maybe I can't understand? And whatever happens, right, this isn't a promise that if I just believe right, that it's going to work out. We've talked about this a lot over the last year. It's not a promise that things are going to happen the way that I want them to happen. But do I believe with a deep faith, because that's what this is, it's deep redeeming faith, that God knows me, He knows my situation better than I do, that He loves me and He cares for me and He cares for my son and He cares for my daughter and He cares for my wife and He cares for this church and everything that I worry about, that He cares about it more than I do. And He is at work and He has a plan and He didn't call me to pretend that things are different and step back and disengage, but to do so from a place of peace and rest and trust, because I believe that He is good, and that ultimately He is in control, and that He is here, and that He is at work. And rather than stressing, I'll look first to Him. Seek first Him and His kingdom and His righteousness. All right, just leave that there. Last question. And this is an explicit question that Jesus asks. And it's fascinating that he ends this dialogue this way, because he brings to the surface one of the great themes of Scripture that can be so counterintuitive to us and how we live our life. And the question is, am I present to the now? Am I here right now? Am I present now in the midst of whatever I'm worrying about, and what I'm stressing about, and what my anxiety is about? Am I present right now? Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You can just hear him saying, why are you worrying about tomorrow? For tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't it great that Jesus ends this whole dialogue just by pointing out that this isn't some whitewash reality thing? But yeah, each day has trouble. There is plenty to worry about. There's plenty out there in life to be stressed about, maybe right in the midst of our life. Right? He acknowledges that, but says, rather than getting caught up in regret and guilt about the past and worry about what we can't control about the future, live in the now. What is God doing right now? How is He leading me right now? How can I love someone now? How does God want to use me right now? And what do I need to surrender, to let go of, to trust Him with right now? Now, do we plan? Absolutely we do, right? Do we live responsible lives? Yes, we do, right? Do we engage? Do we work to make things better? Absolutely. But friends, do we get caught up in stress, trying to manage and control things that are beyond our control, even things that are precious to us and that which we love? No, we don't. We love. We engage. And we're present, but we are able to do so from a place of rest and peace, because our hope is in Him and our life is in Him. And ultimately, right, the big ultimate hope is the hope of eternity. I think Paul said it, to paraphrase Paul, so what's the worst that could happen? Well, I can die and go to heaven and be with Jesus. Friend, you tell that to somebody whose child is sick and suffering, that's not a lot of encouragement. But it is true. And that truth and that hope, when we bring it back into our lives today, gives us the hope and peace to, again, I'm just repeating myself now, to engage the life around us, focusing on what's happening right now, to make a difference, to be able to take that deep breath and let go of what we need to let go of, and experience the peace and the freedom that comes from starting to release that worry and that anxiety. One more thought, and then we're going to move into a time of communion. It's not in your program, but that's what we're going to do. Last thought. Friends, when we do find ourselves worrying, because we do, right? If God knows that, and when we struggle with anxiety, we struggle with worry, God does not come to us in judgment and condemnation. Now, I've heard preachers say something like to their congregation, listen, if you're worrying, you're sinful. You're being disobedient. Well, technically that's true, because worry is a lack of faith when it really boils down to it. Worry is also an expression of love. But God doesn't come to us condemning us. He comes to us loving us and inviting us to come to Him and be freed and to experience His peace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. If you have your Bible, just turn there real quick. It's way over near the end of the New Testament, when all the books start getting really, really short. 1 Peter, near the end of it, chapter 5. And moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter writes this, humble yourselves, right? What's that a picture of? Release, surrender, trust. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Trust God with the outcome, right? Trust Him with the outcome. Cast all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. This is an acknowledgement that we have anxiety, but it's a promise that we can be delivered from it. Cast your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Friends, do we believe that? As we go into 2018, right, to rock it, as John said, do we believe that God knows us and He loves us and He cares for us so that we may engage the day from a place of peace and rest as we release to Him that which He did not intend for us to carry?